I wonder, after yesterday, do I still have any listeners left?
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome to the Tuesday edition of Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. So glad that you're taking some time to be with me today. As I said yesterday, I've been dealing with something in the back of my mind that really has just been on my heart and mind for a couple of weeks. What should I do with this particular radio program and podcast? What value does it have in our world today? It's easy. It's easy, as I pointed out yesterday, it's easy to complain. But see, finding solutions, having a plan, well, that takes some effort. A lot of people find it easy to complain in the, what I call the armchair quarterback position. Well, the world is all messed up. Politics is corrupt. The election was stolen. Guess what? I agree with a lot of what most people that I know are thinking. That there's no way that Mr. Biden got 80 million votes in this country. It didn't happen. Biden did not win Georgia. It could not have happened. I don't care what Twitter says. I don't care what Facebook says. I don't care what MSNBC says. We know that. These are the things that are given. We know that Facebook, well, they are now the new Ministry of Truth. And if you disagree, they will banish you or put you in Facebook prison for a month or something. Frankly, I don't care anymore. I just don't. I can spend a program pointing out all the pandemic fraud. We've done plenty of it. And from time to time, we will remind you how, after a year, how often these so-called experts were wrong. And I will explain to you why I'm not a great fan of taking any of these vaccines, because it is unproven technology that is not legitimately, by definition, a vaccine. Though many people believe that it is, it isn't. There are plenty of people that do that, probably do a better job than I do in pointing that out. So I don't need to be another member of that chorus on the radio, on the internet, online. Don't need to be doing it. Mention it, yes. Point out some places to look, yes. But today we begin a process of understanding solutions. I was going through some stuff on my desk, and I'll be honest, this program has grown, and it's a one-man show at the moment right here. It's hard to keep track of all the correspondence, and things get sometimes, lost. I mean, they do. I'm sorry, but they do. On my little desk. If you saw the tiny office I'm working in, it is probably 5 foot by 4.5 feet. It's like a tiny closet. And it's not the most quiet room. And I need to do a few things to make it a little bit better for the purpose. But it's not urgent. They'll get done. I found a letter that I had actually meant to respond, and I'm not even sure if I did. And this came from a person in Illinois, and back then, this was from February, it's like, greetings from snowy, unreasonable Illinois. And this individual listened on shortwave on 9395 and also sometimes 5950, and then he enclosed a gift to help pay for shortwave time, which I'm sure that I used to cover this month of March, along with other gifts. And he goes, yes, people are returning to shortwave as the World Wide Web continues to shut down free speech and Christianity. Well, they haven't shut it down yet, but boy, they're making it more difficult. So, yeah, I agree. And he points it out well. And he mentioned the idea that investors, smart people, should take note of this, as well as possible, is there a possible new kind of internet or substructure on the horizon? We must not be silenced, and I agree. it's only a matter of time before honest preachers will be off of the web, and in some cases even radio. Yeah, I can see that happening. And then he went down with several people that he likes, and then he talks about how disturbing it is, how easy it was for the public to be manipulated by the media. And soon they'll beg for, you know, and he goes on, and things we've talked about on this program. And then he shared some other programs and people that I'm familiar with. And this person is not that far behind me in age. And what he points out is what somebody else pointed out in other emails. What do we do? What do we do? And I realize that I'm facing one of the greatest challenges of my life that I didn't realize I was signing up for when I told the Lord I would do this program. But I'm not going to renege. Just so you know, I'm not bailing out. I'm going to continue. As long as God keeps this door open, I will continue. But there's going to be a little bit of a change in how we do things, and I don't feel bad about that, and I hope you don't either. I still have some guests that I may have a chance to bring on later this week. But instead of talking about just the bad news and just the things to worry about, just the things to be concerned about, just the thing to have a sleepless night about, we want to spend more time with solutions and hope. If not, why bother to do the radio program? If you want to find some bad news out there, I can direct you to about a dozen websites and radio programs and podcast and videocast that do a better job than I do in laying some of this stuff out. You know, even when I'm doing the radio show, there are a lot of places that I go to and I have to sort through and try to find material that I feel comfortable with. But see, that's not where it needs to end. I learned years ago, back in my radio days, I started out as a disc jockey, but there was several years that somehow I landed in being an on-air news guy in a pretty good-sized market. And those few years were fun, but it was also fun to get back playing the records again. It was a lot of work because, see, then if you go back, 45 years, 46 years ago, we had to be a lot more honest than we do today in our efforts. Today, journalism, you know it, I know it, is nothing more than a propaganda machine to push an ideology. You know, the ideology comes first, news comes second. We saw plenty of stories last week. You know it, I know it. So trying to find accurate news is a problem, but there are places that do it. I know for me, and I told this to my wife the other night, I am spending too much time reading bad news. I'm spending too much time in the sewer of the world and not on the Word of God. I would love to have some help in that regard. I can't pay for it, but I'd love to have some help in sorting through this and distilling in a few minutes the headlines of the day so I can spend more time trying to get ahead of it to give you a solution to get through it. As my good friend, and I shared this email yesterday, if you didn't catch it, as he said, we all know the election was stolen, COVID pandemic was planned, choreographed, perfectly executed, the bulk of our citizens have been turned into zombies, and it goes on and on. The military will be neutered, and the list goes on and on. There's no really stopping this because there's no longer any honesty in the system. And guess what? There's very little media to hold it accountable. And if you really think about it, if you want to know the worst part, and this is what we have to deal with, and this is why we still have opportunity. Yesterday I pointed out that when you look at this divided nation, And if you go to Facebook, you'd think that we are ready to go at war with each other, and in some places we might. But the vast majority of people are in what I call the mushy middle. They really don't pay attention to all that much news. They may watch their local news. They may catch a little bit of the CBS or NBC or ABC evening news. They don't watch Fox News. They don't watch Newsmax. They don't watch CNN. They don't watch MSNBC. They are not forever complaining about politics on Facebook. Many don't even really have Twitter. They're smart. They don't even have Twitter. I want you to think about this for just one moment. In the United States, we have about 200 and some odd million adults. And they figure that maybe 69 million Americans might have Twitter on their phone or their computer. In other words, Twitter has an audience, allegedly, of 69 million people. But as impressive as that sounds, the best question is how many people use Twitter every day? Really, really read it, spend time with it? Very few. I know people that have Twitter on their phone right now that would be in that 69 million people that haven't opened it up in over a year, maybe 2 years. They just have it on their phone. And when they got a new phone, it was there too. And they have an account, but they don't use it. That's really the true metric when it comes to something like Twitter. When you look at the daily number of users that Twitter has, it's only about 35, 36, 37 million, depending upon the day. And that was based upon the fourth quarter of last year with all the hype of the election. You know, when Donald Trump had 23 million followers. Now he's gone. So how many people really still use it? Maybe Twitter is becoming an echo chamber for the most part among the woke. Maybe really there's 20, 24 million that may spend any time. And even out of that, how many are really tied up in politics? Many are tied up in a lot of other hobbies and issues and things that have nothing to do with elections and politics. We begin to think sometimes that the power of social media is so powerful. But is it really as powerful as we think? See, many that listen to a radio program like this, now I know a lot of you are smart and have gotten off the grid in many ways, and you don't mess with Twitter, you don't mess with Facebook, you don't touch anything that Google has because you consider it the unclean thing and come out from among it. I get it. And I don't blame you one bit. I'm proud of you for doing it. Some of us still have to be here for a while because of this kind of a job. But in other words, we have 300 and some odd million people in this country. It's not 270 million people on Twitter. It really isn't. And then you find out, and I did a little bit of checking on this too, the number of people in the United States that use something like Facebook. Right now, the estimate, you ready for this? You ready for this? That Facebook has 69% of the United States population has a Facebook account. 69%. Almost 70%, 7 out of 10 people have a Facebook account. Man, that sounds scary, doesn't it? Man, we got to advertise our pizza parlor on Facebook because that's where the people are. I'm going to tell you something, a little secret. Back in the days when I had your weekend show, the predecessor of this program, I'm thinking maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and even with some church work. Somebody said, you ought to invest some money into some Facebook advertising. And I was hesitant, but then I looked at the price and I'm going, okay, I can justify spending, and it wasn't all that much because I could reach so many thousands of people, thousands of them, nationwide or in an area or a region. You know, put together a Facebook ad, and once approved, I don't think my ads would be approved today, but back then they were. So I've done the Facebook advertising, and it'll come back and tell me that this ad reached, you know, 24,563 people over your 3-day period. How much feedback did I get from those 23,450 people? None. Waste of money, waste of time, waste of effort. Didn't do any good at all. Not saying that it doesn't, but I'm saying Facebook is not the big monster people think that it is. Because, see, it's one thing to have 69% of the population having a Facebook account. How many really use it every day? That's another number. I sometimes will have somebody get a hold of me, and I'll look them up on Facebook, and I'll find their Facebook page. They haven't posted anything in 1 year, 2 years, in one case, 4 years. There are a lot of inactive Facebook accounts, a lot more than you would care to think. You know, a lot of people, even me, and as I mentioned yesterday on the program, I got involved with Facebook because of the work that I did. Frankly, I had no interest in it whatsoever. And there's a very good chance that had I not had to get a Facebook account 11 years ago, I may still not have one, but I do now. It just happened. It's just what had to be done. And like I said yesterday on the program, if you missed it, there were some good things about Facebook. I did connect to people that I hadn't connected with in decades. You can get very easily, you know, over time, old high school friends, business acquaintances, people you worked with. Time moves on, families and everything, and you lose track. Then all of a sudden, there they are. And it's nice to make a reconnection, so to speak. And in that regard, social media had its good points. And when social media started, it wasn't the complaining sessions and a lot of the stuff we see today, the anger, the vitriol in the comments section on certain things. I've posted things and I've had some of the most revolting comments over the years that get posted back, especially in the last two and a half years. Facebook went from being a friendly place to being a controlling place. 5 years ago, Facebook, I could spend a little time in the evening when there was nothing on TV. And all I really saw were a lot of my friends. I saw, and here's something while I'm thinking about Facebook before I forget. There was a time that in the group of a couple of hundred friends that I had, I saw pretty much everything that they were doing of importance. Now Facebook limits that, and instead I'm fed material from the Ministry of Truth, of course, so I think correctly and act correctly. And if I dare post something they don't agree with, they're going to shut it down or threaten to suspend the account. I just don't care anymore. Facebook has a lot of influence in the world today. And the only reason it does is because we've empowered it. It didn't build that all by its lonesome. It didn't create itself, the monster that it is. Its people adapted it, adopted it, used it, became addicted to it, and now can't let go of it. There are people that are more afraid. There are people more afraid about being kicked off Facebook for 30 days than being kicked out of being able to worship in a church for the rest of their life. Let me repeat that. There are people today that are more afraid about being kicked off of Facebook than being kicked out of their church or being told they can't worship. Their life is too dependent. So yesterday, and I'm going to continue today, we need to begin to understand what we must do. We begin to cut our dependency. There are people that I know that listen to this radio program as a radio program on shortwave. Thank you. And thank you to those that have financially supported paying for the airtime. And we also are heard as a podcast, and a lot of people are listening that way. And I'm beginning to think, okay, if some of these podcast sites get really woke and they start not liking what I'm saying, well, we'll have to find a place to go. We're working on it. Maybe you have some ideas, but I'm inquiring and talking to a few people. We'll come up with something, and not just for me, but other like-minded people when the time comes. I'll hang around Facebook for a while. I've given up on Twitter because Twitter became a real sewer. It is a real just sewer. It's dominated by the left. The language is filthy. Accusations often false. And they systematically deplatform anybody that's not woke enough. That, you know, if you believe that there's only two genders and they figure that out, they may throw you off of Twitter. So I'm done with Twitter. Twitter is no more. It's over. And I feel a whole lot better. I really do. I see a lot of news stories. They quote things from Twitter. I just go past them. I don't care anymore. That's the first part of, you know, actually healing in this world, is to start getting out of it. Stop being so much of a part of it. We're in it, we're not of it. Problem is, too many people that claim to be Christians are still into the world so much they can't get into the things of God. They're so into making an income, getting a better house or car, and they let their children rot in a public school, but they got a nice car. It's like one of my friends said, you know, we've got to be prepared. We've got to be ready. Like one guy said, you know, in an email, good friend. I kind of shared part of his email yesterday and something else just right here. Just my eyes just spotted it. It's on the corner of my desk. It talks about a solid Christian school or Christian education. Now, when he came along, about my age, you could get a good education in a public school. Now, I was fortunate. My elementary and what were called back then junior high, not middle school, you know, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, or 7th and 8th grade back in my day was the junior high. I went to a Lutheran school in Long Island, a Christian school, very good school. Memorized a lot of scripture along the way too. Active in my church. All those things from my youth became a part of my life down the road. Did I always live up to all the expectations? No, but in time, that foundation, it was there when I needed it most. Question's been asked. How does one find a solid Christian school? How do you determine if it's good? I know people that have done homeschool co-ops. I need to get a guest on that. Maybe you know somebody that would be a good guest to talk about that. I've met a few over the years, and I think it's something we need to discuss. Maybe you're older and don't have any children in school, but you need to understand what we're fighting, to pray about it. Homeschool co-op. I can imagine some young mother in her 30s or late 20s worrying about the education of their children. There are a lot of Christian schools out there, And as sad as it is, some are just not affordable for some people. Now, I'm not blaming the school because, you know, they have people and they have utilities and building costs and everything that goes with it. And they don't get the privilege of getting tax money to subsidize their school. And the left, you know, you talk about school vouchers. Oh, no, 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 no. We can't give that to a sectarian school that may teach about Jesus. You know, that separation of church and state thing, you know, we got to honor that non-existent wording of the Constitution. Christians can pay a lot of money towards school taxes, but they don't get any benefit out of it if they're sending their kids to a Christian school. And for many families, it is a huge sacrifice, and some simply are not able to do it. Maybe there should be some scholarships out there for some of these people. Maybe the homeschool co-op option should be there, where a number of people get together, maybe through a few churches, and say, we're going to be homeschooling our kids. How do we pool our resources and our abilities to educate 10, 15, or 20 kids? The materials, maybe get some expert help from time to time. A lot of people have done that, and it's affordable, and the results are incredible. They beat the public school every time, and they actually have an education, and they can actually have the skills of critically thinking. We need to get some experts on this program. So here's what I'm asking you. I'm going to give you a homework assignment, if you're one of my regular listeners. If you know anybody that has had success in homeschooling, you can give them my email address, or you can contact them and we'll get the two of us together. My email address that nobody else but me reads is bob@truth2ponder.com. bob@truth2ponder.com. We need to begin to think about how do we... That Bible verse rings on so many things in this world today. Come out from among them and do not touch the unclean thing. It applies to churches that have abandoned the gospel. Come out from among them and do not touch the unclean thing. It applies to our public schools in many places. Come out from among them and do not touch the unclean thing. Our entertainment, our social media, come out from among them and do not touch the unclean thing. If we as Christians are going to have a plan, we need to take our eyes off the world and turn our eyes upon Jesus.
You're still here if you've gone home. Don't shut me down just cause I'm preaching good. How for me to get off on a thing like this? Don't shut me down just cause I'm meddling.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
The good deeds of two Cub Scouts. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. Mitzvah. It's Hebrew for good deed. Try it. Mitzvah. Now, we're all called to be people of mitzvah, of good deeds. So are the Boy Scouts. Each Boy Scout's called to do good deeds, like helping old ladies across the street, helping out in their neighborhoods. But there have been times that the organization had to put a stop to the good deeds of its members. See, there was that time in Surrey, England, when two Cub Scouts decided to go out into the streets and do a very special good deed for all the motorists. When the organization found out about it, they quickly put a halt to it. The two Cub Scouts were standing on the side of the road, warning all the cars of a police radar trap just ahead. You see, sometimes our good deeds aren't really good. They're nice, but they're not good. See, nice isn't always good. It might be nice to agree with people, but it might not be good for them. It might be nice to make people feel good, but feeling good isn't the same as being good or becoming good. And often the very thing that makes those in our lives feel good hinders them from ever becoming good. Doing what people want isn't necessarily good. Living simply to please people is never good. Giving everybody what they demand isn't the way of righteousness. See, if your friend is drunk and wants to drive home, the nice thing is to let him go. But the good thing is to stop it. It doesn't feel good, doesn't seem nice, but it's the best and most loving thing you can do. You're not called to be agreeable and nice. You are called, above all, to be good. Love has to be strong and sometimes tough. God isn't always agreeable. He's always good. You be the same. Now, this is good. And this is something you want. How would you like to receive something so awesome? It's been hidden for 2,000 years and never before been revealed. You can. The awesome, unprecedented mystery of the temple doors and sapphires guaranteed to help you become strong and victorious in God. How do you get all these free gifts? Easy. Just remember Jesus' Hebrew name, Yeshua, and dial it. Just dial 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's all you do. You'll be so blessed. Just, you got to do it now, though. Call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. Now, I invite you to join me in bringing salvation back to God's ancient nation, Israel, and all the unreached peoples on five continents with over 1 billion people. Just call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or write me direct, The Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. It's a nice Jewish boy, box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, Shalom Aleichem, peace be to you, my friend, and Messiah, Or HaOlam, the light of the world.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome back to part two of our Tuesday edition of Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. As we come out of this break, and I've got some good stuff to share with you, if you'll hang in here for a couple of minutes, I just want to take a moment. Sometimes I forget to do this on the air. I try to get some letters out and emails from time to time. I want to thank you out there that keep this program on the air. Now, I want to make something very clear right now so there's no misunderstanding. There are a lot of programs on radio, a lot of websites and podcasts, and they become, in a sense, a cottage home industry. Now, I'm not trying to be critical. I'm not saying that's not a good thing. In some cases, that's fine. It's all right. But for this program, for the time being, I don't have any particular need to get paid myself. I just don't. If I need to make an income, there are other things that I can do. God has been good to meet the needs of my wife and myself. Like anybody else, a little more helps, but I don't do this program to make a living. When I ask you to help in supporting this radio program, it's not to pay me, it's not to pay my bills, it's not to do any of that. It's only to pay for getting the program on the air so you can hear it on stations like KVOH or WRMI. Those stations, I have to pay the air bill each month. And so if you want to keep it on shortwave, if you can do anything, large or small, it is always welcome. I just want to make the need known and leave it at that. There are two ways you can support it. You can do it from online if you like. And you can go to truth2ponder.com. You can find a way to support there. Even a mailing address for those that don't use the internet. And there are some that don't. I have no problem with that. I get it. Our mailing address here in Georgia is 21 Berkshire, B-E-R-K-S-H-I-R-E, 21 Berkshire Lane. And then we have a secure P.O. box up here. It's not a post office, but P.O. box. And that is number 263. You put that on the same line as 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263. And the community is Sky Valley, two words, Sky Valley, Georgia, 30537. Once again, one more time, real quick. 21 Berkshire, Berkshire Lane, number 263, Sky Valley, Georgia 30537. And thank you if you can help. And if you can't, well, just listen. And hopefully this will encourage you in your life. Okay, enough said about that. We've been talking today about what do we do. And I'm sure for many of you listening, you look at the world today. We can look at the pandemic. We can look at the election. We can look at everything. The decay of our public school system, the wokeness, the rioting, the critical race theory nonsense, all of it. Dividing us against each other. Face masks dividing us against each other. We're so divided. And social media and the media just amplify it. It's kind of like, you know, bringing a fan to a fire. Big fan. They keep fanning the flames. Because as long as we are divided against each other, well, then the important things that need to be done get pushed to the side. And that's why I was saying, in so many things that we do day in and day out, week in and week out, we need to leave some of this stuff behind or spend less time with it. We need to be stewards of our time, not just our financial resources. Time is also a commodity. Once it is spent, you never get it back. The time that I spend doing this radio program, I can't get it back. Period. Once it airs, it's aired. That time you listen, you're not going to get it back. So what do we spend our time doing? How do we not waste it? As I look at this radio program and the things that I really believe are going to have to be done by Christians, if we're going to be obedient, we have to. I remember someone said, sometimes we can be so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. And, you know, it's not the most perfect way to put it, but there is some truth in that. There are a lot of people that I know spend their life buying DVDs and books about end time prophecy. They support end time ministries, and nothing wrong with that. But they're so into the end time ministries, it's like wearing horse blinders. They can't see anything in the world around them anymore. They're busy looking for the mark of the beast or the four horsemen or something. And I've listened to many preachers in my lifetime preach on Revelation. I can go back when I was an impressionable high school student exploring the Christian world around me. Especially when I got to college. I didn't just stay in the church in which I was raised. I did a little bit of, I'm sorry to say it, I did some church shopping. And I visited some fundamentalist churches. I visited some holiness churches, Pentecostal, charismatic. Did the entire gambit. And I went to retreats, seminars. And I've listened to some of these wonderful speakers preach on end time prophecy from Daniel, and they tie it to this book and that book and this other minor prophet, the book of Revelation and Matthew's gospel, and they just go on and on. They've got it all tied together back then in a little book. Eventually, you could get information on a cassette. Remember those? Cassette tapes? Then eventually it became a CD or DVD or a VHS tape. I just don't want you to read this the wrong way as I say it. For some of them, it is a cottage industry. It's how they make their living. And I get it. The Bible does say the workman is worth his wage. And I have no problem with that. I think a lot of clergy are underpaid when they have a church. And they're living way beneath the standard of living of the members of their congregation, there is a problem. A big problem. I learned that too in my time in ministry, when I first took over a small mission, I had to work outside, and it was always the struggle. How do I find more time to grow the church, but I need more money to do that, so I need to work more hours as a broadcast engineer? And I finally said, Lord, you sort it out and figure it out. And he did. And I watched the church grow, and before I knew it, I didn't need the outside income. God met the need. Matter of fact, I mentioned this yesterday. I promised I can't go into a lot of detail. But if you don't believe that there is a God of miracles that can move mountains, that can move bureaucracies of government, and other miracles and life changes in people. We saw a lot of that last week, and my wife and I are still in total and absolute amazement. God is still on the throne. He's not worrying about the coronavirus or Facebook. He doesn't care, and I don't blame him. Maybe we should be more Christ-like and not worry about what the world thinks either. And so here's some of the things that have been crossing my mind, and I wanted to get them out today as we try to move forward and share some really good ideas with each other. I want this radio program, besides from time to time giving you some of the news and some of the news behind the news, which I think from time to time is very important, but it can't be the entire crux of the radio program any longer. What good does it do? If I want to know the bad news behind the news, I can put on, I don't know, Greg Kelly on Newsmax or Sinchfield or Tucker Carlson or any of them, or Laura Ingraham. I can put that on all day long. If you don't have cable or satellite, if all you have is a radio, there's plenty of other voices out there that will give you all the news behind the news and some of the news you probably don't need to hear anyway because it may not even be completely accurate. That's one of the things I worry about sometimes in this business. As hard as we dig to get accuracy, and there's some pretty strong stories out there, the mainstream media, well, they avoid it. They don't want you to know about it. But I also recognize the enemy will put misinformation in there. Let me give an example of what I mean about misinformation and how it can affect things. I'm kind of a student of history to a degree, and I've spent a lot of time studying World War II. Don't know why it interested me. And even to a lesser degree, World War I. It kind of explains how our world got in the position that it is in the 20th and 21st century. You know, the Germans, they were doing pretty good in the early part of the war. They had a way of communicating in code that we couldn't break. The Enigma Code is what it was called. And until we got a hold of an Enigma machine on a sinking submarine, German submarine, we would have never broken the code. And sometimes you put out some misinformation and you see if the Germans would pick it up. And then you would know that we had the correct code. Did that with the Japanese as well. And I wonder who did that to us over the years in warfare. Misinformation can also be a very powerful tool. Sometimes we think we have the inside scoop on, I don't know, politics, a cheating situation in an election or pandemic or vaccines, and there's some really over-the-top stories. Some I feel there's some credibility to it. Others, my spirit's saying, leave it alone. Don't go there. There's enough to deal with at face value on certain things. I don't need to get into over-the-top sensationalistic headlines. And here's why I don't need to. There are enough real headlines out there to be concerned about. And anytime you start marketing the over-the-top stuff that you can't verify or back up, when enough people begin to believe it, then the hammer gets laid down. You find out you were taken. You were deceived. The enemy loves to deceive you. And once your credibility is ruined or diminished, then who's going to, that guy on the radio there, he had all these strange news stories that never came true. I know some people in, quote, end time ministries that make all kind of predictions. World War III could be here in 60 days. I heard that 3 years ago. Trump's going to win in 2020. Didn't happen. Over and over, you hear the stories that don't happen. And when you do that, just like there's a guy and he's reinventing himself now, and he's one of these people I think I've quoted. He's one of those guys that had a prophetic ministry until recently. He went out on a limb, big time limb, and he was saying Trump will win in 2020. Well, on November 4th, God will turn the election around by Thanksgiving. I got that wrong. Make that December the 12th. And as you know and I know, his prophecy was wrong. And don't make any excuses. Well, you know, the church didn't pray enough. I heard it all. Heard all this nonsense. He was so full of himself and his ministry, and this is his income. This is his livelihood. And he started listening to his ego and not the Spirit of God. A lot of so-called ministries did. They're so busy trying to tickle your ears to keep the finances rolling, they'll say whatever they need to say. That's why I started the program today. You're still here after yesterday. I'm going to have to be honest with you. I want to help you during this time. But you need to help me in ways, too, that you can with your talents. I'm not asking now. This is not a money thing right now. Put that aside. I'm not asking for a penny. Maybe you're out there and you do read and analyze the news. Maybe you can help me. I can't pay you right now, but maybe you can give me an analysis or something and write it out. Save me having to spend a lot. I'd rather spend more time in God's Word looking for solutions than digging up the same headlines that everybody else has, especially if you have the talent to get something beneath that headline that others are missing that needs to be shared. Maybe you have an idea from what we talked about before about a homeschool co-op or getting like-minded people together. Maybe you know how to do websites better than I do. Are any of you out there better than I am at WordPress? I will set you up a domain name and the hosting. If you'll help me, maybe the Lord has laid on your heart and mind. And I remember sharing this before and I got a letter back. I didn't quite understand it. So I wrote the person back. And if you're listening, don't take offense by what I wrote the way I wrote it. Sometimes I think we're hearing where God is leading us and we're not fully seeing the whole picture. And I'm sure there are some people out there that will mesh well with what we're trying to do here at Truth to Ponder. Do I need to have a newsletter? Do I need an email going out that I can't do? I'm looking for those that are saying, I've got a little bit of time. There's a lot of work to be done. And I've got something I can contribute. I don't have any money, but I have time and I've got effort and I've got ability and I've got talents. Well, maybe it's time we talk. Start with a real easy email. You don't even have to try to impress me. You don't need to. That's not the purpose. Just introduce, say, hi, I heard your program. By the way, I do A, B, C, and D, or I've been praying about, you know, D, E, and F, or whatever the case may be. And guess what? You can send an email that comes only to me. I don't have a staff. It's just a, look, I have to produce this program, research this program, edit this program, distribute this program, update the website, update the podcast sites, all by myself. And I don't feel sorry for me when I say this. I don't pay myself a penny. I don't need to. I need to give this time to God. God has been so good to me. And, you know, like I say, the only thing I do with any income is just buy airtime. So I can stay on WRMI, and I'm hoping to continue on KVOH, God willing. So those are, that's what I'm trying to do. But I realize there are only so many things that I can do during the course of the week. I've got these wonderful things that God lays on my heart, and I'm going, but for the time. And I go, but Lord, I need the time. And then God laid it on my heart the other day. No, you need the help. What did St. Paul say? Let the need be made known. No, take up the collection, whatever it was. Make the need be known. If I don't tell you there's a need, how are you going to know? How would you be sure? Maybe you think there's a need. I'm confirming it. Maybe God has spoken to you. Now you're getting a confirmation. I'm looking right now, about a couple of feet from me at the far corner of my desk, sitting on top of a printer, is a small computer that I purchased not long ago, brand new, for an online radio project. I have loaded two different softwares in it to decide which one will work better for the purpose of another online Christian radio station. I haven't turned it on in about 6 weeks because I haven't had the time. I get out of this little tiny office and I'm tired. And to start looking at software, and I got music to maybe consider. Maybe I need to make it a talk format. I don't know. But I'm wanting to launch. The Lord said, get the device. I've got it. I've got one online station now that's purely music, very traditional, sacred music, you know, the old, old stuff. Classic stuff. And you can find that at ancientwordradio.com. That's where that lives. But the Lord is saying I need another music format. Then I need some short form programs and maybe another little computer to do some music and a lot of teaching. Teaching you can't get. There are a lot of what I call pay-to-pray commercial radio stations out there, and some of the stuff I'm concerned about when I hear it theologically. I've said before, we need our own platforms, or we need to embrace and support other platforms that are being developed, and instead of spending 2 hours on Facebook, maybe spend an hour or two on Gab, or there's another up-and-coming one called Dansgate. And I haven't even had the time to sit down and learn what I can do with it. This radio show doesn't just take an hour of my life. It takes many hours a day of my life and a good chunk of my weekends. And I'm still behind. I'm not complaining. I'm just sharing that we have a lot to do. I want to see this ministry grow. I want it to be more than just me. I see the day coming. Lord, maybe I'm being evangelical, and forgive me if I'm getting ahead of where I'm supposed to be. But I really see right now in my mind something that the founder of Gab talked about. As long as we are playing with Twitter, Google, and all those big tech tyrants, all we do is simply empower them each and every week. We give them our money, our time. You know, we may not have to pay to be on Facebook or Twitter, but we are selling ourselves out. We are giving up so much of our information, our buying habits. Do you understand? You may not understand this, but you need to. Whenever you're doing a search on your computer or your phone, and you're using Google, Google's keeping track of where you go. Then they can market that information to somebody else. Facebook does the same thing. Ever wonder why, gee, it's funny, I was looking at a place like that yesterday or something like that, and all of a sudden, there's an ad on Facebook. Twitter monetizes millions of people every day. You are just money to the money changers. Your true life and needs don't even matter. You're just a number. So let me see if I can sum this up here real quick. Truth to Ponder is a radio program, but it can be a lot more. Other websites and ministries, online radio, things that I can help with. There's some things I can't. They're not what they would say, the term they use now. It's not my wheelhouse. I mean, it's not much, but I did build the Ancient Word Radio site, and I did build myself the Truth to Ponder site, and I've built a number of others. And I know people are better than I am. I'll tell you one thing I'm not. I am not a graphic artist at all. I can do some photo editing, but I know others can do better than I can. I can write, but I know there are better writers than I am. Do we need a newsletter? Do we need an email going out to keep us tied together? I'd love to do it, but I don't have the time. My wife doesn't have the time. We may be, quote, retired, but God is keeping us busy in ways you would never believe. Plus, God is, here's the other thing. And I got to share this. If I don't share this, and I'm not telling you the whole story. There's actually two things I need to share. The Lord is laying on my heart loudly. Remember, I'm in ordained ministry, and I've been kind of away from doing regular, church work for a while now. Not just because of the pandemic, but just because where God had me at. I'm trying to steer another radio project to get another transmitter site going for shortwave. That won't take too much of my time. It'll take a week or two or three. But I mean, it's something that there's so many things God has put in front of me that need to be dealt with. And I can't do it all by myself. I've got somebody coming into our life, looks like in July, that I hope to mentor in some of the things that I do engineering-wise. There's a real shortage of people that are engineers. I mean, I'll be 67 this year. I'd like to get someone that's like 40 to learn this, because in 10 years, I'm not doing this, probably. And others that are in their 70s will definitely not want to be doing it. So, you know, I need to do what I can to mentor somebody while I have the time. If the Lord should tarry, we need to still be preparing, and we need to be sharing. We need to be preaching and proclaiming and building for the kingdom. Stop worrying about when the mark of the beast is coming. It'll come soon enough, and we'll know it when it gets here. We won't have to guess. Let me make that real clear. A lot of people, like I said yesterday, Amazon's got this thing that can read your palm print. That must be the mark of the beast. They've been looking at your... Even back in the 80s, they could read the retina of your eyes. I mean, come on. We're just getting used to the idea of not carrying silver and gold, so to speak, and being part of a beast system. And it's going to take, my generation is going to avoid it. Younger generations will embrace it. That's kind of where I'm coming from. So what I'm trying to tell you right now, man, tomorrow I'm going to get into God's Word. I've had this Bible open in front of me. I'm going to spend a little bit of time in a couple of verses tomorrow that are very powerful. If you want to help with this ministry, there are many ways you can do it. Number one, maybe you're a writer. Maybe you can help build a web page. Maybe you can help with a newsletter. Maybe you have other ideas for videos, video editing, things for online radio. Contact me, bob@truthtoponder.com. I can't pay, but I can give you platform. Let me know, bob@truth2ponder.com. And be specific. I've had people say, well, you wanted to do this. Well, tell me what you do, and then we can talk. Listen, that's all the time we have for today. We'll pick this up again tomorrow.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth. 2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder. Shining the light of truth in a darkening world.